Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Judges chapter 6. Today, we're continuing our series. What's it called? Others First. That's right. And our theme verse is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. It says, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And the Message paraphrase of it says, but the point is not just to get by. We want to live well, but our foremost efforts should be to help others live well. As followers of Jesus Christ, our foremost effort, our foremost goal, the thing that should be on the front of our mind is not about me, but it's about others. How can I help others live well? How can I help them know God? How can I help them know the victory, the joy, the peace, the hope that comes from having a relationship with Jesus Christ? How can I help them to know the full, the abundant life that Jesus offers to everyone? That's the only reason we are on this planet today, is to help others. Because we can worship God better in heaven. We can learn about God better than heaven. We can fellowship with each other better in heaven because our sin natures are gone. The reason we are here is to help others. And so that's what we're focusing on this series. And this morning, I want to talk about making an impact beyond yourself. How to live beyond yourself. How to really touch other people's lives. And today we're going to look at the life of a man named Gideon. Gideon lived in a time when his nation was in a real mess. There was much poverty, much oppression, much fear, and much brokenness. A foreign nation called Midian had invaded the land of Israel, and it terrorized the Israeli people on a regular basis. And we're going to read about this in Judges chapter 6. Let's pick it up in verse 1. It says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Just want to pause right here. Notice that the mess that the nation was in was as a result of the evil that they were doing. The problems they were experiencing was because they had turned their back on God, and they were living wickedly. They were living how they wanted, not how God wanted it. And friends, when you turn your back on God, when you do what you want to do instead of pleasing Him, you're inviting trouble into your life. Now, how many of you want to invite trouble? How many would just open up a door and say, come on in, axe murderer. Come on in, thief, rob me blind. You know, come on in. Well, how many of you would do that? No, we would not do that. But when we decide, I'm not going to follow God, that is exactly what we are doing. When you turn your back on God, you're turning your back on God's protection, God's provision, God's guidance, God's comfort, and God's help. And that's not to say that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a problem-free life. How many are Christians and know that you don't have a problem-free life? Oh, yeah. Hey, you got problems, I got problems, all of God's children got problems. Jesus said, in this world, and he was talking to his believers, his followers, he said to his disciples, in this world, you will have tribulation. He didn't say might, he didn't say maybe, but here's the thing. When you turn your back on God, you don't have any of God's help to go through the problem. You don't have His peace that surpasses your understanding. When you should be wigging out, flipping out, you're at peace because you know that God is with you and God is control and He works all things together for good. And so I'm not saying if you follow God, live a righteous life, you never have problems. You do, but you have God's help with it. But Israel, they were being terrorized. They had no peace. They had no hope. They were broken and destitute because they turned their back on God. Let's pick it up in the middle of verse 2. It says, because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which are the mountains, they made that for their homes. They fled their homes and they ran to the mountains. Can you imagine things being so bad here? We would all leave our homes in Casper and head up into Casper Mountain trying to find, you know, shelter, trying to hide in some secret protective place that no one could find us. That is how bad it was. Verse 3, so it was whenever Israel had sown their crops, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and people of the east would come against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that God raised up a man named Gideon. And you realize the whole nation was impoverished, leading a life of sin, doing as you please without any regard to God, invites the enemy into your life. How many want to invite the devil in? I don't see any takers. But that's what happens when you lead a life. And that was what happened. Their lives were messed up because they were letting the devil reign instead of God reign. And friends, we see that taking place in America. People are doing whatever they want, and as a result, the devil's been invited in and he's messing up their lives. We have broken homes, miserable marriages, destructive behavior that is destroying, you know, people's careers, people's reputations, people's families, people's destinies. Unhealthy relations that are trapping people in greater pain and greater dysfunction. We see addictions that consume a person to the point that nothing or no one else matters, only satisfying the craving of the addiction. Those are the results when a little bit of sin is left unchecked. You see, a little bit of sin doesn't stay little. It will grow, and eventually what you thought was fun now has you in a prison of pain and hopelessness. And let me say, before we get into the meat of our message this morning, if you're here and you are sinning, you're willfully rejecting God, you have invited a mess into your life. And you maybe aren't experiencing it now, but you will experience it eventually. Look, if you don't do something about it today, 5, 10 years down the road, you're going to say, I remember Sunday, August 14th, there was that guy in the blue plaid shirt, don't even remember his name, but he was saying, turn to God, surrender to God. Why didn't I do it? I invited all this suffering, all this pain into my life because I wouldn't let Jesus be my friend, my forgiver, and my leader. God wants to set you free. Maybe some of you feel you can't be set free. You can be set free. There is nothing. We sang about it today. Nothing is impossible. There are people who attend here today that were alcoholics, that were drug addicts, and God has set them free. There are people, they were in the midst of divorce, and God has put their marriage back together. God's put their family back together, and God has set them free. There are people here today that once they were far away from God, they had lost everything, but God has put their lives back together and He's restored their future and their destiny. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. You are not hopeless because God is all powerful and He can help you. And if you want to turn from sin, we're going to give you an opportunity a few moments from now at the end of our service where you can turn from sin and you can say, God, I want you and everything that you have for me. We're going to give you that chance. Because here's the thing, God loves you, you're special, and there's nothing you can do about it. And you know what? God also knows people that some of us don't know, that you can touch and you can bring that same victory and that hope to. And this morning, we're going to talk about how do we, followers of Jesus Christ, do that? How do we make an impact beyond ourselves? We're going to look at Gideon, and actually, not only him, but the 32,000 people that joined him And God whittled it down, if you know the story. But there's a Gideon's army brought deliverance, freedom, hope, restoration to a nation that was in a mess. And I believe if God's people would follow the pattern, follow the principles of Gideon and his army, we could see the same thing happen in America today. I want you to take a look at your notes this morning, pull out your bulletin, and on the back page, take a look at what it says. It says, God does not just want his followers to be blessed. God doesn't want us to come to church on a Sunday morning and say, "Woo, that was a great service," and then we walk out and just do nothing the rest of the week. It says he wants us to bless others and make an impact beyond ourselves. God wants to bless us so we can be a blessing to others. Abraham is considered the father of the faith. He's kind of the guy that got it all going. And one of the things God said to Abraham when he was making a covenant with him, I have blessed you so that you in turn can bless the families of the earth. You see, God never just poured out blessings to his people so that we could do nothing else. God wants us to be rivers, not reservoirs that hold it all. He wants to be channels and canals instead of just bodies of water that hold everything. God wants to use us. Just as the Lord used Gideon and 300 others to do that for the nation of Israel, God wants you and I to do that for America today. So let's take a look. Now, this message is going to be in two parts, okay? There are six keys to making an impact beyond yourself. We're going to look at two of them this morning and the other four next Sunday, because I know you want to go eat fried chicken out at Natural Bridge, all right? All right, the first key today, if you want to make an impact beyond yourself, here we go. The first key is volunteer to advance God's kingdom. Volunteer to advance God's kingdom. In Judges chapter 7, verse 1, it says, that is Jerubbabel, that is Gideon. Gideon was given another name, kind of a nickname. It was Jerubbabel, and we won't get into what that means. But it says, all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. Now here's the thing. Gideon is getting ready to attack the Midianites. He and all the people that were with him. Now, it doesn't say in verse 1 how many were there, but when you look in verse 3, it tells us there were 32,000, okay? How many would like to go to battle with 32,000 people with you? That sounds pretty good, huh? I can handle that. 32,000 people. Now, here's the thing. 240 years earlier, if you want to write this down, you can. Numbers chapter 26, verse 51, okay? That was when Israel was coming out of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Moses is getting ready to die. Joshua's going to be the leader, and they took a census. When they took that census of around about 240 years earlier, the number of men who were age 20 and above that could go into battle was 601,730. 601,730, over half a million people. And now, the question is, 240 years later, how big was that army? How big was the potential of those 20 years over that could go into battle? How many men were 20 years and over? I would venture to say it was at least 500,000, if not 600,000, or maybe more. It's kind of hard to tell. But here's the thing. If there were at least a half a million people, a half a million men that could go into battle, and Gideon only has 532,000, excuse me, he only has 32,000, where are the other 470,000? You see, a small fraction volunteered to advance God's kingdom. Just a small fraction that said, no longer, and I'm going to let the enemy run roughshod in my community. No longer am I going to let the enemy come in and steal and kill and destroy us. Give us no hope. Make us broken and worn down. No longer am I going to live in a mess. Is my society going to live in a mess? Only a fraction said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to advance the kingdom of God. And the very first thing, if these men went to volunteered, Israel would have stayed stuck in the mess they were in. And so the very first thing that we need to do is we need to volunteer. We need to say, God, here I am. I will do what you want me to do. Where were the other 470,000? They were at home doing what they normally did. Planting crops, taking care of the crops, shearing the sheep. Whatever it was they were doing the same routine as they always were. Take a look at your notes this morning. There are two paths that you and I can take. Two paths that we can take. Path number one is the path of our daily routines. The path of our daily routines. We wake up, we get ready, we go to work, we run errands, we shop, we clean, we help the kids with homework starting in 3 weeks from now. You get the kids to bed, you go to bed, and you start the grind all over again. And that's what happens to many Christians. We just follow the path of our daily routine, mindlessly going through the day. This is what I have to do. This is what I have to accomplish. These are the things, bing, 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 on my to-do list, and we're following our path. And that is the first path that we can take. But there is a second path, and it's the path that God has for us. It's the path of the Holy Spirit. The path of the Holy Spirit. We read about it in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 8. It says, when they, and it's referring to Paul and his missionary team, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And you see, Paul had his routine, his plan, his to-do list set. I'm going here, then there, then there. But the Holy Spirit, as he started to do his path, his routine, the Holy Spirit broke in, and he was sensitive enough to hear God say, don't do what you've planned to do, do this instead. In fact, in his first case, he didn't hear what to do, he just knew, don't do this. So he says, okay, I'm going to go to the next thing on my path, the next thing on my plan. And he started to do that, and God says, no, I don't want you to do that either. So Paul then went to the next place, and that was when God says, this is where I want you to go. I want you to turn and go a different direction. I want you to go to Macedonia, and Paul did, and Paul planted a great church in the city of Philippi. You see, God has a path of the Holy Spirit that he wants us to be on, but it requires sensitivity to that. And if we get so caught up, and I've got this to do, A, B, C, and D. This is what I always do. We're not going to experience making an impact beyond ourselves. I've tried to do something new in my life where every morning when I wake up, I volunteer and say, God, this is your day. It's not my day. You know the things I need to get done. But God, I want you to be in control. So you order my day, and I'm trusting you to help me get done what I think I need to get done. How many would say you have a lot of things that you need to get done throughout the day? How many would say you have more things to do than time you have to do them in? Raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of us do. Hey, we're all in the same boat. But if God could cause the sun to stand still so Joshua could fight a battle, I believe God can help things stand still so I can get things accomplished. If God could multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish, then God can multiply my money when he says, give your money. God can multiply my time when he says, give your time. God can multiply my energy when I don't feel like I have a lot of energy, but I give it anyway. God can do the impossible. We sang about it today. Nothing is impossible. God can do all things. And it's so funny because I've seen how Christians, we can sing that Sunday morning in church. But then when we're prompted, when someone comes to us with an invitation to do something, and the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, you can do that. We say, no, I can't. I can't do that. I can't volunteer. We have got to be a people that trust God And when the Spirit speaks, we volunteer to advance the kingdom of God. And not be in a place where we've already had a predetermination of no. Don't have a predetermination of saying no, because you lose out on what God wants to do. We need to volunteer not just for our daily life and the path that we're in, but we also need people to volunteer to minister to the body of Christ. I've got a great opportunity for you, okay? Write this date down. We shared this a couple of weeks ago. You saw it up on the screen, September 17 and 18. How many of you can hang a piece of paper on a doorknob? How many have the skill to do that? Okay, let me ask you, how many of you don't have the skill to do that? Some of you raise your hand, yeah, right. I saw someone who I know was in athletics and very capable. Raise your hand, I can't do that. So. Here's the thing, we all can do something. And on Saturday, September 17th, we're looking for 60 people. 60 people, we're going to send you out in twos with door knockers. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You just have to walk up to a door and hang it on the door and walk away. 50 homes in 1 hour. If we have that, we can cover 1,500 homes of people that live around us. And people who are being oppressed by the enemy, people that are broken, people that are hopeless, they'll come to the door, they see that door knocker, and they'll say, man, I need something in my life. And they'll turn it around. And then the next day, a team of us will go and we'll bring the Bible that says, hey, I want a free Bible. And we're going to pray with them. We're going to see how we can impact their life. Because you see, there are people here in Casper that we don't realize the pain, the suffering, the prison that they're in. And you say, well, what if I get a situation that's really, really bad? I'm putting the door knocker in and they walk and they want to start talking to me. Do you believe that God can give you words to say? He can do that. Volunteer. Last week, we talked about Not On My Watch, where we talked about volunteering for our youth and children's ministries. And some of you did that after church. You contacted Pastor Todd, Pastor Josh, Pastor Angela, and says, hey, Not On My Watch, sign me up. I want to be a life group leader. Hey, I want to help in the nursery. I want to help with kids' church. I want to help with JBQ. And that's great, but we still need more. And I want you to pray and say, God, do you want me to help? Check kids in. Check parents in before church so that there's a safe and a secure environment. God, do you want me to help go upstairs so that Pastor Angela isn't bald by Christmas because she doesn't have anyone to help and she's pulling her hair out? We can volunteer. And we have volunteer places all over the church. Volunteering in food pantry. I know they need men to help on Tuesday mornings to go and load up the food. Some men with some big, strong muscles. That you can come and you can help unload the food from the trailer so we can give it out. Last year, we distributed 180,000 pounds of food to 15,000 hungry people in Casper. That's driving back the enemy. And not only did we do that, but we prayed with people. We encouraged people. We invited them to come to church and to find the life that Jesus has for them. And there's places all over, sound, media, greeting, parking lot. Do you realize they say in the first 7 minutes, someone decides if they're going to come back to church or not? And so if someone comes to church and no one's greeting them, it's kind of cold, no one engages them, they're going to feel like, I'm not welcome here. Here's my goal. My prayer is that in 5 years, we'll be a church of 500. We run around 200, not in the summertime. Everyone goes and vacations. But we average about 200. But my prayer is, God, give us 500 in 5 years. God, help us to grow. You know what that means? That means we're going to need more people working. It means we're probably going to have to go to two services. And to make that work, that means I need to work a service and I need to worship a service. Because how many of you would hate to have to serve every Sunday without being able to sit and soak and receive from God? How many would say that would be pretty draining? Yeah. But if you could do that every Sunday and also work one every Sunday, all of us doing something, You see, here's the thing. God said, pray for laborers for the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. It's never been a problem of the harvest. It's always been a problem of not having enough people to touch people and make a difference beyond themselves. When we go to two service, I want you to pray about, God, how can I work one, worship one? Volunteering for the kingdom is the first step that it takes to making a difference beyond ourselves. Now let's take a look at the second key here that we read in Gideon's life. Take a look at verse 2. It says, the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Friends, here is the next key to making an impact beyond yourself. Number 2 in your notes, don't let fear paralyze you. Don't let fear paralyze you. You see, 32,000 volunteered, I'll do something. Yes, I'll do it. But after they volunteered, then fear crept in their life, and 2/3 says, nope, I guess I can't do anything. I can't do anything. I'm afraid. I'm going home. And here's the thing. Fear will cause you to miss out on a great story. I want you to think about, you know, those 10,000 that were remaining. Think of the story they had to tell. And really, there was only 300. We'll read about that next week. But think about those that stuck with the army, that made a difference beyond themselves. Man, their grandkids are sitting on their knee. And it's like, man, kids, all we had were trumpets, clay pitchers, and torches. That's all we had. And at midnight, it was dark. Clouds in the sky, you couldn't see anything. We took the clay pitchers off the torches. We were surrounding the Midianites. And we took that pitcher and we smashed it to the ground. And you could hear it just reverberate. 300 pitchers crashing. You know, just like smashing glass, smashing windows. And the Midianites woke up. And we said, the sword of the Lord and a Gideon. And we blew our trumpets. And I tell you, they wigged out. They started pulling their swords. They couldn't see anything. They saw the lights. They thought we were there. And they just started killing each other. And we're just standing on the mountain, just watching all this happen. And then some guys realized, we got to get out of here. And they took tail and they ran like a carrot, or excuse me, a jackrabbit following a carrot on nitro. I mean, man, we saw God do a great thing that day. I mean, think of the story they had to tell. And 22,000, 2/3, missed it. I wonder if that's the proportion in the church today. That 2/3 of the people are missing out on a great story to tell because of fear. I'm not talented enough. I don't have time enough. I don't have money enough. I don't have resources enough. Don't let fear paralyze you from volunteering to advance God's kingdom and make a difference beyond yourself. Even the strongest, even the brightest, even the best have fear. We see this in the book of Joshua. Joshua's been appointed the new leader of Israel. He's taken over for Moses. And when you read Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, three times, God tells him, be strong and of good courage. Here's Joshua. He had seen the 10 plagues and that God set Israel free. He had seen that the Red Sea open up and Israel crosses through on dry ground. And when Pharaoh and his army comes in, every last soldier's in the Red Sea, boom, it closes up. He had seen God give them bread in the wilderness for 40 years for 3 million people. He had seen a rock follow them. A mountain follow them and water come out of the rock, giving them water wherever they went for 40 years. Joshua had seen miracles. He knew the power of God, but he was afraid. This is what the Lord said to Joshua. Joshua 1 verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers and give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Friends, God knows all things. And God knew his leader, his man, his appointed one, who had seen miracles, who was the best, the strongest, the brightest, who had won victories before, needed to overcome fear. Joshua, be strong, be courageous, I am with you. If you're waiting till you don't have fear, you'll never do anything for God. If you're waiting till there's no apprehension, friends, every time I witness to someone, every time God says talk to them, pray for someone, I get a lump in my throat. And there's like, are you sure, God? I deal with fear. We all deal with fear. The key is not to not have fear. The key is to don't let fear paralyze you. God said, Joshua, I have commanded you. This is not, it's like this, boy, I told you, you be strong, you be courageous, I've commanded you, now obey your father. And that's what God is saying to us today. I've commanded you, be strong and courageous. If the unlimited God is with you, then your possibilities are limitless. You are not limited. There are some of you here today, you're living in fear. There's some of you here today, God's been prompting you to get involved in a ministry, to volunteer for something. And you've said, I can't do it. I don't have the time. I don't know how. Or I don't have the ability. Some of you have insecurities. Maybe you got involved in church and someone criticized you. You said, that's it. Never again am I going to do anything for God. Not in the church. I mean, I'm just going to play it safe. Fear is paralyzing you. There's some of you here today, and it's not in the area of volunteering, but you have so many problems, and you've got fear in your own life. Maybe some of you, students, you're fearful about what the new school year holds. There's some of you, you're fearful for your marriage. You're fearful for your family. You're fearful about your finances. You're fearful about something you're struggling with, dealing with, and you feel you can't overcome. And here's the thing, that problem has you weighed down, and you've got no joy. There's no hope. You kind of walk around depressed, discouraged, and your problems are focusing on your problems so that you can't see the path of the Holy Spirit. And even if you could, people would look at you and say, you're a Christian? And you're that depressed? You're that miserable? Why would I want what you've got? You see, if the enemy can steal your joy and your hope and your victory, then you're not a light, a beacon of hope to those around you. And the fear, the problem you have, has paralyzed you, and it's stolen your light. It's stolen your torch. It's stolen your trumpet. It's stolen your story. God wants to set us free from fear. As I was getting ready this morning, I felt God say, there are several people that fear is somewhere in their life, and it's paralyzing them, keeping them from being all God wants them to be, keeping them from the joy, and keeping them from making a difference beyond themselves. Friends, you must fear God more than you fear losing anything else.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.